Father, as always, I thank you again that the entrance of your word, we know, brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Now let that light shine our hearts today. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, a strange topic today, you know, but it's a topic of caution. Caution. And be careful now. You know, so I'm going to be talking on strange fire, mixed seed, broken altars, and old bottles. What does that all mean? Well, you got to stay with the message to hear it all. You know, so right now, what the Lord is doing, as far as I know, is calling out his people and putting us into position. But we got to be really careful. Got to be really careful. You know, so that's what this lesson is all about. And you're going to hear all about the caution in the next several minutes. I will be talking, like I said, on strange fire. What does that mean? I'll be talking on mingled or mixed seed. What does that mean? Broken altars and even old bottles. So let's talk about it all. Praise the Lord. Several stories in the Bible that may help us illustrate these points. You know, we start out at Leviticus chapter 10. Now, in chapters 8 and 9, the Lord instructed Moses to instruct Aaron and his sons on how to do the office of the priesthood, you know, and how to do the sacrifices and so forth like that. You know, so we'll notice that in chapter 9 of Leviticus, when they did it right, here's what the Bible says. And this is the last verse of chapter 9 of Leviticus. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed the altar, upon the altar, the burnt offering that was there and the fat. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Now, this was God sending the fire because he was pleased with the sacrifice. So, you know, there's another kind of fire that God might send when he's not pleased with the sacrifice. We're going to see that in the next chapter. But in this case, you know, they did things right, you know, and God, the fire came from above, consumed, you know, the sacrifice. And when the people saw it, they said, wow, they fell on their faces. And, you know, the fire of the Lord was in the camp and so on. But it was a good fire that the Lord sent. Now, in the next chapter, we see the story of Nadab and Abihu, who are also sons of Aaron. They were also, you know, the lineage of the priesthood was upon them and so on. However, you know, let's read their story. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, this is Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, took either of them his censer, put fire therein, and put incense thereupon. Now, that's not how the Lord commanded it. And offered strange fire before the Lord, which the Lord commanded them not. Now, they were, you know, they were by lineage also in the priesthood because they were Aaron's sons. However, they went beyond and did the sacrifice in the way that the Lord did not command. And they mixed in their own fire and all of that. You know, and God was angry. The Bible says in verse 2 that there went out fire from the Lord, just like the other time. But this time around, it wasn't the sacrifice that the fire licked up. No. The fire licked up the people who are sacrificing on the altar. Now, there's two ways that the fire can fall and what it could do. The fire can fall upon the sacrifice and God can, you know, consume that sacrifice because it's pleasing to him. That's all they used to do in the Old Testament. Or the fire, in this case, fell upon the corrupt priests that took upon themselves to do things not in the way that the Lord commanded. And they tried to put in their own fire. That did not work. Now, because I have a long lesson today, I'm not going to go into all of the reasons why, you know, because there's so many examples I want to cover. But suffice to say, what they did was not according to what the Lord wanted. In other words, they did a little bit of right and then a little bit of wrong. And this is really the lesson I want to bring today. A little mixed up, you know. It's kind of like Jesus said, you know, kingdom of heaven is like a woman that took one measure of meal, and one measure of leaven and three measures of meal and mixed it up in there. So today's lesson is about this mixed up stuff. You know, a lot of good, seemingly, and a little bit of extra stuff that the Lord did not command, or a little bit of contrary stuff, some light and a little bit of darkness, you know, some wheat and a little bit of leaven, you know, some truth and a little bit of non-truths and myths and all kinds of things mixed up in there. And the result is never good. Now, we've been trying to set the record straight on what the Word of God says and how we must stay with the Word of God. But today is a caution that you can't and you cannot embark on this journey with the Lord of cleaning house, setting yourself free from all the stuff that doesn't belong there, and then still allow some of that stuff in. That's not going to work. So that's where this lesson is at today. And as we go deeper into this lesson, you hear more about it and you will understand more. You know, now, it didn't end well for these people. The Lord consumed them. They died. Nadab and Abihu. And they were Aaron's sons. So Aaron was displeased, obviously, and he was sorrowful. But Moses said to him, look, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified, this is verse 3, in them that come nigh to me. So if you are coming near to the Lord, look, I'll be sanctified in them. In other words, everything must be right. Can't be unholy stuff mixed up in there. Can't be things that the Lord did not approve of mixed up in there. You know, so God did this thing for a lesson. And so he told them, look, the Lord said, I will be glorified in them that come near me, and I'll be sanctified in them. So Aaron had to hold his peace. He couldn't say anything more. And Moses actually warned him, don't bewail these people, you know, because the Lord is the one that judged them. Just leave them alone. I know they are your sons, but don't bewail them. Because if you do, you yourself might die, you know. Leave it alone. This was the act of God's judgment and cleansing. And sometimes that God needs to clean house. God needs to clean house sometimes, you know. And it reminds me of a story in Ezekiel chapter 9. You know, the story of the, you know, ink horn rider or the writer's ink horn. He had the mark. And he was told, go in and set the mark upon all those people, sign for the abomination of the land, and let all the destroyers come after him, you know. And the part that I want to emphasize is he said, and let the destroyers start at my house. My goodness. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, we are coming into the time that those that have charge over the city are coming again with their destroying weapon in their hands. And God is setting some people apart. And then God is commanding and saying, go through the midst of the city. Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 4. And through the midst of Jerusalem, set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. So there are some people, you know, that their souls are vexed because of all the evil. And it's not just the evil in the land. It's also the evil in the church, you know, because he said to them, look, go after him, to the destroyers, the ones that have the destroying weapons. He said, go after this one. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, you know, but come not near anyone upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Now, that's the one I want to call out. Begin, let the judgment begin at my sanctuary, saith the Lord. Now, you say, some people say, well, God doesn't judge. I mean, God doesn't do that. I mean, God is a good God. You know, I mean, God doesn't, I mean, he's a loving God. He's a God of love and so forth like that. Well, he is, and that's true. But, you know, he's a holy God too. And you can't change, you cannot make God change his ways. You know, we are the ones that must align with him, because our God is also a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29. It's a consuming fire. He can consume the sacrifice on the altar when it's pleasing to him, or he might even consume the people trying to do the sacrifice if their ways are evil before him. And you're just like Nadab and Abihu. You say, well, you know, I mean, that's a bit strong and so forth. Well, you know, wait until you hear some other words that the Lord said to his own church. You know, you say, well, can the Lord do this thing? Absolutely, because he is God. Now, God wants us to receive his mercy and his goodness. That's the first part of his attributes that he put forth when he revealed himself to Moses. First thing he said is, you know, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. You know, that's how he introduced himself. You know, but, you know, and he said, look, showing mercy to thousands and all this stuff and so on. But if you do not align with that, then you're going to have to deal with his severity. Ah, my goodness. We don't want any part of that, you know. So, and if you, for those of you that think Jesus or the Lord can't, you know, be like that, listen to what he said in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 23. Now, remember when he appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, his eyes were like a flame of fire. His voice was like many thunders and waters and so forth. He wasn't messing around, you know. He means business. And he said, look, I gave her, you know, talking about, you know, the Jezebel spirit and everything. You know, you have to read all of it. I'm just going to read a little bit here, you know, for you. There are many things, you know, that God hates. In this church that was at Smyrna, you know, God hated the fact that, you know, they had things mixed up in there. You know, they said they are Jews, God said, but they are the synagogue of Satan. You know, and so he said, look, I suffered them and everything, you know. And then he went down to Pergamos and said, look, for Pergamos, where even where Satan's seat is. Now, these two churches, they were supposed to be churches, but one was the seat of Satan, you know, and the other was the synagogue of Satan, you know, and all of these things. And the Lord said, look, I've given her space to repent, but she did not repent, you know. And he talked to even Thyatira and all these people, called out many things, you know. In Thyatira, he said, look, you have this woman that called herself Jezebel, a prophetess. that taught and seduced my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent, and she did not repent. Well, she was in the church, you know. Behold, I will cast her into a bed. Hallelujah. That's the voice of the Lord. It's like waters. It's like thunders. It's like, look, be very careful now. I will cast her into a bed, and then that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent. And I will kill her children with death. My goodness. So, can the Lord say that? Of course he did. And so that's the side of the Lord you don't want to mess with. And all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts. And I'm not messing around. Hallelujah. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. You know, so there is a time coming, and now is the time. God's beginning to clean house. Now, those of you that are coming, you know, into this, on this platform, God bless your heart. You know, let's cleanse our hearts. You know, let's not mix good fire with, you know, strange fire and so forth. You'll hear more about it in a bit, but I'm laying out a foundation to let you know that God's not kidding, and he can bring judgment against his own people. Yeah, not normally God doesn't do that. And you say, some people say, oh, but we are not appointed unto wrath. That's true, you know, but for you to not be appointed unto wrath, you follow his word, because his eyes are the eyes of fire, and he's not messing around. Now, let's leave a few more stories here about mixed seed. The first part was on strange fire. God did not command. If we say we are priests, God has made us priests, kings and priests. He made us. But don't mix anything else in there that God did not command. Otherwise, he may be furious. Now, let's talk about, you know, mixed seed. In Leviticus chapter 19, let's read verse 19. Mixed seed. What is mixed seed? I'm going to spend a little bit of time on that one, because that is important. Now, the word of God is the original seed. You know, Jesus, in the parable of Matthew 13, you know, he said, a sower went out and sowed. And Jesus said, well, that seed is the word of God. You know, so we know the word of God is the seed. But how does it then, what does it mean then, sowing mixed seed, or mingled seed, and so forth? Well, let's read Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 19. And this is something, you know, that the Lord said we must remember. Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let your cattle gender with a diverse kind. God doesn't like all this mixed up stuff. There's a lot of mixed up stuff these days, as people have corrupted themselves so badly. Even the human race, they corrupted themselves. You know, man with man, woman with woman, people with animals, and all kinds of things. Well, you know, but even when it comes to the word of God, thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. That's mixed seed. Can't do it. Neither shalt thou put a garment mingled together. God doesn't like all this stuff, you know, and, you know, and goes on to all the other evil in concupiscence that may be happening. But I want to focus on this mingled seed. The word of God is the pure seed. So when you take the word and you take some other thing also, that's not exactly right. According to Isaiah 8 and 20, he said, if they're not speaking according to the word, then it means there's no light in there. So that means you take a little bit of darkness, then you take a little bit of light, you mix it up together, it's not going to work. It is going to attract judgment from the Lord. So this is a word of caution. You know, we're trying to tell everybody, clean house, that we may be unspotted. If the Lord is coming, what is it that you don't want him to find, you know, that is not right? We covered that a couple of days ago. Now, let's clean house. Let's make sure everything is right. But don't take a little bit of this and then a little bit of that. You know, you hear the pure word of God, then you go someplace else and hear some other thing that's not so right. You mix it all up together. It's not going to work. You know, so let's be careful now. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 9. And the Lord is calling out these things, giving them instructions. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. You can't do it, folks. It's not going to work. It's going to be defiled. And Jesus said, look, let your eye be, you know, light. But if you allow darkness in there, how great is that darkness? Don't mix it up in there. Take the word of God, the pure word of God, on one side that's telling you, get away from all these untruths. Stay with the word. And then you go and take some more of those untruths and mix it all up together. It's not going to work. You know, don't sow your vineyard with diverse seeds, mixed up seeds. It's not going to work. This is a caution today. Lest the seed which you sow, or the labor that you are carrying, the pure word of God, it'll be mixed up, it'll be diluted. It's a little leaven, leavens the whole lump. You know, so that's not going to work if you allow a little leaven in there. You know, but we got to stay with the pure word of God and don't let anything else in that is not right. You know, you might want to read in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 9 how that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know, so if you have a lot of truth and a little bit of mistruth, the whole lump is leavened and it's all mixed up in there. And so God is warning us, you know, this is not the time to do that. In time past, you know, in the time of ignorance, well, God may have overlooked that, but now he commands everyone everywhere, repent and straighten up, you know, and let's get our house in order. Praise the Lord. Now, let's talk about broken altars. I want to share a story with us here. Interesting story. And I want to call out a few things here. There was a man called Elijah. He was a rustic figure from the wilderness. And he suddenly appeared on the scene in the days of Ahab and all those prophets of Baal and prophets of the group. And he called forth a challenge to them because he was like, look, if the Lord be God, then let's serve him. But if Baal be God, then let's serve God. I mean, why do we halt with two opinions? You know, which one are you going to do? I love this Elijah man. You know, in the book of 1 Kings, you know, chapter 18, we see that there was a showdown. Hallelujah. You can call it showdown on Mount Carmel. You know, because, you know, Elijah said, now, therefore, send. 1 Kings 18 and 19. And gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. The prophets of Baal, 450 of them. And then another set of prophets of the groups, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Elijah is going to go up against 850 prophets. That's right. 450 prophets of the Baal and 400 prophets of the groove, making 850. So Elijah, he asked for that, and he threw down a marker and said, look, today is the day. So he called them, you know, and they gathered. And Elijah said unto them, verse 21, why and how long are you going to halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then let's follow him. But if Baal, then let's follow Baal. But not him. He said, you follow Baal. Elijah was never going to do it. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. But today is the day you're going to make a decision. You're going to have to make a stand either for God or for Baal. So Elijah told them, give us two bullocks. And this is the showdown on Mount Carmel. Give us two bullocks and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood. But put no fire under it and let them dress, you know, their own bullock. And I will dress my own bullock and let us lay no wood. Let's put no fire, but and so forth. And let them call. And he told them, look, ye call on the name of your gods, plural and small g, you know, and I will call on the name of the Lord, Jehovah. Hallelujah. And the God that answered by fire. The Lord and the God, he said, the God that answered by fire, let him be God. Woo-hoo. Now, they, you know, I mean, it was a fair challenge. 850 people on one side, all their gods on their side. Elijah by himself on this side and the Lord God with him on this side. So, you know, it seemed like actually an unfair challenge, but in the mind of Elijah, it was a very fair challenge because he knew the outcome already. So, you know, well, he told them. And so he said, you guys go first though, you know, and do what you need to do. So they took the bullock, dressed it, they called on the name of Baal from morning, even unto noon. And they cried, oh, Baal, hear us. There was no voice, none had answered. And I love this story. You know, they lived upon the altar that was made. They did all kinds of things, you know. Meanwhile, Elijah just said, all right, well, why don't you cry some more? He's a God, after all. Maybe he's talking on the phone. Maybe he's on a trip. Maybe he's interviewing some people. Maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe he's pursuing and doing whatever, you know. Or maybe he's sleeping, you know. Maybe whatever. And he needs to be awakened. Cry some more. He mocked them. And they cut themselves with fire. I mean, knives. They gushed. Blood gushed out from them. They did all kinds of things all day long until the time of the evening oblation. And, you know, Elijah. And they were prophesying the whole time, you know. And, well. Elijah just looked at them, said, go on now, you know, cry out some more, you know. And then finally, when there was no voice and nothing to be heard from Baal or any of their so-called gods, Elijah said, all right, now let the people come near unto me. Ha, hallelujah. And all the people came near. And the first thing he did, and now here's the elements that I want to bring out. You, of course, I know you know this story. But I want to bring out some elements here of the broken altar that does not work. So the first thing that Elijah did was to repair the altar of the Lord that was broken down. So you see, today's lesson is about strange fire, mixed seeds, broken altars, and old bottles. I'm going to come into that in a minute. Now, this one is about repairing broken altars. That was the first thing. He took the altar of the Lord and set it in order. The first thing. And took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. You know, and he set them in order. Hallelujah. And after he did that, so, you know, a broken altar will not bring down the fire that will lick the sacrifice. It's not going to work. So we must fix those broken altars. And I'll talk about what they are in a minute. Now, so he fixed the broken altar, set things in order, and then he told the people, look, now he didn't, you know, the prophets of Baal didn't do that, but he's going to do it. I want you to dig a trench around the altar, you know, as much as you can. And they began to dig, you know. And he's, you know, after that, then he put the wood in order. Hallelujah. That's right. You remember Leviticus 6, 12 and 13. God gave us commandment in this room. He said, every morning, put the wood in order. and set the altar right. And then make sure you crank up the fire and keep it burning. And the fire must not go out. That's it. That was the charge that God gave us for this room when we started October 1 last year. And we've been trying to do that. Now, so Elijah, we did all this. And then he told them, look, pour water, fill up 4 barrels of water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice. Now, you want something to burn, you don't soak it in water, but Elijah did. Soak the sacrifice in water. Soak the wood in water. Soak everything in water. So that you guys will not say, well, peradventure, the one stone, you know, rubbed against another stone and it caused the fire. Soak everything in water. They did it. He said, do it the second time. They did it. Do it the third time. They did it. So when the thing was soaked with water, the bullock was soaked with water, the altar was soaked with water, the wood was soaked with water, the water was running over. Elijah said, now, you know, he's ready to show the God that answered by fire. So Elijah, he came and he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art the God of Israel, that I am your servant. And I've done all these things at your word. See, God already showed him what to do. Now hear me, O Lord, and let these people know that today you have turned their heart back to light. Now Elijah's spirit is the one that turns the hearts of the people back to God. And God said, I'll do it again. Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. I'm going to send Elijah again. Turn the hearts of the people back. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So Elijah, he knows how to turn the hearts of the people back. And he said, he called upon the Lord and he stood right there. And before the eyes of all the people, and before the eyes of Ahab, the 850 false prophets, the fire, hallelujah, of God came down from heaven. Woo-hoo. And licked up the sacrifice, licked up the water, licked up everything. And that's the right fire. Because first he repaired the altar of the Lord. Now, that's called the Mount Carmel Showdown. Now, let me tell you what will make broken altars. Now, every family and every life, you know, must have an altar. As a matter of fact, your body is an altar. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You know, it's a sacrifice and it's also an altar. So your very body. Present your bodies. In Romans chapter 12, you're told, as a living sacrifice. Well, a sacrifice must always be on the altar. That's where it must be. It can't just be anywhere. Got to be on the altar. So, when you make your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that's what we are commanded to do. And also, the priests were commanded, as I told you before, Leviticus chapter 6, verse 9, and then verses 12 to 13. The priests were commanded to set the altar in order, set the wood in order, and bring the wood every morning and crank up the fire. And the fire must not be put out. Now, this is perpetual burning. You know, so that means that really our flesh, our body must be on the altar. Flesh on fire, but the altar must be repaired. If you bring a sacrifice with strange fire, it's not accepted. If you bring a sacrifice mixed up seed, like you bring the bullock and bring something else that God didn't want, it's not accepted. If you sow your vineyard with pure seed and a little mixed up, it's not accepted. If you take the pure, wheat and you put a little leaven, it's not accepted. Likewise, if you bring a sacrifice on a broken altar, it's not accepted either. We got to fix the altar first. That was the first thing Elijah did. Now, what makes those altars to be broken? Number one, disobedience. Disobedience is the number one altar breaker. That's right. Because Jesus said, John 14, 21 and 23, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, so the number one thing, and someone said the other day, he said, yeah, I said, you are right. He said, God's love language is obedience. That's correct. But Jesus said it himself, John 14, 21 and 23. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, so the number one altar breaker is disobedience. You know, and how do we disobey the Lord these days? Well, you know, we say the, you know, the sneakiest ways that the devil is using today is it doesn't matter. That's it. They see it in something in the word of God, point blank, but you say, no, that doesn't matter. Well, okay. Once you say that, the altar is broken. That's number one. So you must repair the broken altar. Now, what are the other things that break the altars? Well, every other little fox spoil the vine. We talk about disobedience. Then we talk about bitterness and unforgiveness. Jesus, he gave a long story in Matthew chapter 18 about this unforgiveness. And at the end of it, he said, look, so shall my Father do unto you if you do not forgive your brother, every one of them, from your heart, their trespasses. If you don't do it, you know. And what did he say? He said, well, the Lord was wrath with that wicked servant and delivered him to the tormentors. That's right. You know, you can read that whole story in Matthew 18. I don't have time for it, but verse 34, the wicked servant who did not have compassion on his own fellow, when his own master had great compassion on him, he owed 10,000 talents and somebody owed him just a penny. I mean, think of, you know, owing, you know, and it's a lot more than that, but let's just think of even owing 10,000 pounds and somebody owed you a nickel. Think of that. You know, or, you know, dollars or whatever, but a talent was a whole lot more than that. But now his master forgave him when he asked for mercy and he turned around and found somebody that owed him a fraction. In fact, a minuscule, something so small. And he got him by the neck, put him in prison until he should pay all. How in the world is going to pay when he's in prison? When he was free, he couldn't pay. Now you put him in prison. How is he going to pay? So he's going to rot in prison. And then when the story got to the master said, wow, you wicked servant. I forgave you all that stuff because you asked of me. Shouldn't you therefore have forgiven your fellow servant and had compassion on him just like I did on you? Now he commanded and said, bind him up and deliver him to the tormentors. Hallelujah. Now, I say hallelujah because it's the word of God. Because the word of God, every part of it is pure, even though when it's judgmental, you know, we must tremble at his word. Now, the Lord, he put this on this wicked servant. And my goodness, he said, put him to the tormentors. Now, that's a broken altar. You know, tormentors, you know, some people are tormented. Maybe it's because of their unforgiveness. Now, that's a broken altar. You talk about all the other things that we've been covering in this room. Jesus said, look, you know, there will some of you come in that day and said, you know, I did, you know, Jesus will say, well, you saw me, you didn't do this. And say, when did we see you and didn't do that? I have talked about when we covered the book of Colossians, we talked about wives. You know, submit to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents. Parents, you know, do what's right by your children. Fathers, don't provoke your children. Servants, you know, obey your masters. You know, masters, do what's right by your, you know, workers. And so on. We covered all these things. Now, every one of those things, precepts upon precept, that we do not follow or we ignore and say, doesn't matter, create a broken altar. That's right. So when you come, you know, then your sacrifice will not be accepted. As long as we have all this mixed up stuff in there, you know, bitterness, backbiting, gossip, anger, malice, all the works of the flesh, they create a broken altar. You say, well, then who then can be saved? And who then, whose sacrifice can then be accepted? Well, Jesus said, well, with men, it may be impossible, but now with God, you lean upon me. And Jesus might say, well, you know, say to the woman, you disrespected me and you did all. The woman say, Lord, when did I ever see you and disrespected you? You know, I always did this. I always did the other thing. I love the Lord with all my heart. I didn't. The Lord said, well, in as much as you disrespected your husband, you disrespected me. Well, you might say to the man also, you were bitter against me. The man say, well, Lord, when did I ever see you that I was bitter against you? So, well, and as much as you were bitter against your wife, you were bitter against me, on and on and on. You know, now these little so-called foxes, they are not so little after all. They destroy the altar. Now, every word of God is pure. And the word of God is profitable for instruction, is profitable for doctrine, is profitable for correction, is profitable for rebuke, and so on. You know, all scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, is given. Now, notice the way he put it. It's not that he doesn't know grammar. He didn't say all scriptures are. No, he put it together. One, all of them is single one. Just like the fruit of the Spirit is one. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, so you pick and choose. No, it's the fruit of the Spirit. But it has different, you know, elements and different flavors and different character traits and so forth. You know, same way here, all scripture together is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So you can't pick and choose what you want. You know, and it's good for doctrine. It's good for reproof. Some people might like doctrine and not like reproof. Some people might like, instruction in righteousness, but they don't like correction. And Paul told Timothy, see that you do all these things without partiality. Don't prefer one above the other. Don't take the doctrine, say, I like mysteries. You take that one, but you don't like correction. Or you don't like reproof. Well, all those things will break the altars. And then Jesus went on and told a story in Matthew. Well, I mean, gave a lesson, really, in Matthew chapter 19, you know, verses 16 and 17. That's what Jesus said. You know, so today's lesson is about strange fire, trying to do God a service and mixing something else in there that God didn't command. Two, trying to sow your vineyard with mixed seeds. You get a little bit of truth and some untruth, mix it up in there. Number three, broken altars, the things that can cause our altar to be broken. And here's number four. Number four is what's called trying to put new wine into old bottles. It's the same thing as, you know, mixed seed. There are many times that God wants you to unlearn many things which you have learned before. You got to unlearn them. You cannot put new wine in old wine bottles. It's not going to work. And here's how, you know, Jesus put it in Matthew, chapter 19. He said, look, Matthew chapter 9, he said, Matthew chapter 9, I said 19, but I meant chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, he said in verse 16, no man putteth a piece of new cloth onto an old garment. You can't do it. If you do it, what's going to happen? Well, it will tear the old garment and the rent will become even worse. That's what Jesus said. And he also said, look, neither do man or people put, men put new wine into old bottles. Or else the old bottles will break and the wine run out, the water bottles perish and the wine perish. But what you do when you got some new wine, better get some new containers to put it in. What does all of this mean? Well, it means when the Lord is giving you instruction on how to clean stuff out, get the blemish, get the spot, get the wrinkle out, you can't mix it up with old stuff. There's some old stuff we have to completely get rid of. I mean, it took Moses 40 years in the backside of the desert to unlearn many of the things that he learned in Egypt. Because in Egypt, everything was just by, you know, do things by force. You know, you torment people, you kill somebody, you know, I mean, if somebody has a stick, yours is bigger. You know, that's how they did things back there. You know, so, you know, I had to learn a lot of things. God had to let all that stuff get out of his system until, you know, he had forgotten all his learning in Egypt. And then God said, now you're ready to go back. Praise God. You know, so there, you cannot take, it's like when Jesus came and he was trying to show us this very thing he's saying here. He said, look, in the past, you have heard that it has been said that this is how you do things. But I'm telling you now, it's a new standard. This is how you do things now. You know, and you can't take this stuff I'm telling you now and put it back into that old stuff. That's not going to work. Forget that stuff. This is where we are now. Glory to God. So now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of stuff that the Lord's been telling us on this platform. But today's lesson is a caution. You cannot, you know, we're called to be priests and kings according to Revelation chapter 1. You know, John said that. He said, Christ has made us unto our God kings and priests. You know, so you see that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. You see it again in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. You say, you know, Christ has made us priests and kings. You know, but we cannot be priests and kings and try to do things our own way. It's not going to work, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to work. So, now, Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. I said verse 9, but it's verse 10. He has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. If you're going to be a priest, well, don't bring strange fire, you know, because it'll, you know, it might bring the wrath of God. Now, if you are going to hear the word of God, then don't get the word of God and mix it up with other things. It's not going to work. Your seed must be pure. Now, if the light in your eye is darkness, Jesus said, well, how great is that darkness indeed? So let, you know, let your light be all light. Let your eye be all light, basically. So, because if we take in darkness after taking in the light, then Jesus said, you know, how great is that darkness? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be straight or single or pure, then the whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, and if the eye is a portal to the body and the soul, and this is what he's saying here. So if your whole, if your body, I mean your eyes evil, then the whole body shall be full of darkness. And if the light therefore that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now there's a lot of mixed up stuff that's in the kingdom right now. And Jesus said, let them both grow together until harvest time. But well, ladies and gentlemen, we are in harvest time. And God is separating right now. In fact, he said in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4, come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing and be not partakers with them of the destruction that is coming. Now, did you not plant good seed? They said to the master. How come there are tares among them? Well, the master said, an enemy has done this. Well, shall we go and pluck it up? And he said, no. Leave it alone. Because while you are trying to pluck it up, you might pluck up the wheat too. Because at the beginning, they both look alike. Let them both grow together until harvest. Matthew 13 and verse 30. And in the harvest time, I will say to the reapers, well, separation, bundling and so forth. It's coming. Bundle the tares and then gather my wheat. Well, tares are bundling. False churches, false organizations, the false vine, and even some false Pentecostal groups are joining up with all these false religions and so on. Well, it's called a bundling of the tares. But be careful now. Don't go in with them. You know, Jesus said, stay away from that stuff. Keep thyself pure. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 22. You know, keep yourself pure. Don't be entangled with other people's, you know, sins and get yourself into trouble. Keep yourself pure. Hallelujah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. I'm going to wrap it up here with a summary of what we're saying. This is a cautionary message today. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If the Lord be God, then serve him. But if it be Baal, well, so be it. Now, but you can't take some of God, some of Baal, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Make up your mind already. Jesus himself said, look, I don't like it. I will spew you out of your mouth. If you take a little hot, you take a little cold. You know, it's distasteful in my mouth. And I'll spew it out. I would that you were either hot or cold. If you're going to be hot, be hot. If you're going to be cold, be cold. If you're going to be holy, be holy. Let him that is holy be holy still. And let him that is righteous be righteous still. And let him that is unholy be unholy still. Don't mix up a little unholiness with holiness. Don't mix up a little unrighteousness with your righteousness. In fact, you know, God used to tell Ezekiel, you know, he said, look, you know, at any instant, you know, when I choose to bless people or a nation and so forth, you know, and they, you know, when they do right, right, good. But if they do evil, even if the righteous man forsakes his righteousness and then goes and does evil and dies in his evil, well, the evil will come upon his head. You know, so, you know, but if the wicked person turn from his wickedness, then he shall live. Shall not die. You can read all of that in Ezekiel 18, verse 21 says, if the wicked turn from his sins, he shall live. He shall not die. But if the righteous also turn, verse 24, when the righteous also turn away from their righteousness and commit iniquity and do all these abominations and so forth, shall he live? Absolutely not. His righteousness, which he has done, shall not even be mentioned. You know, so don't take a little unrighteousness, try to mix it up with righteousness and see, you know, let's wait and see how it comes out. That's what some people say. Well, on that day, you know, God will wait my good versus, you know, there's no such thing. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, and leaven is never anything good. So stay away from unrighteousness. Stay away from things that are religious but are not holy. That's strange fire. It looked religious. Well, let's bring, you know, after all, we are priests. Let's bring a fire. Let's put the censer. Let's mix it. That's not how God said. Put it on the altar. There's certain things you burn outside the, you know, the camp. But this one, put it on the altar. If God likes it, he'll send his own fire. You know, don't try to do things. Mix it all up. You know, so, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson. As God corrects us in righteousness and in love, let's take heed. Don't take a little bit of poison and mix it up in the food and think everything's going to still be all right. It will be, the food is already all poisoned. All you need is a little poison. You don't need a whole bunch of poison. You take a little grain of cyanide. That's all you need. You don't need a mountain full of it. You know, so the word of God is pure. Stay with the pure word of God. Don't run off after you hear these things and go listen to something else that's not wholesome. I'm not saying don't listen or read or listen to other people. That's not what I'm saying. If they speak according to the light, that's good. Take it. Because God has, you know, his ministers everywhere. You know, they are all the true ministers. They are everywhere. It's not just in one place. They're everywhere. But if they do not speak according to the light or according to the word, according to Isaiah 8:20, always go back and check it out with the word, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. So when you hear something that's contrary to the word, stay away from that. Now, how are you going to know that? You yourself must know the word. That's right. You must have your senses exercised in the word, you know, and so on and so forth. And then we come down to matters, you know, matters of the character in us. You know, forgiveness, obedience, loving kindness, gentleness, all of these things that would, you know, help us to do away with the bitterness, the anger, the wrath, the clamor, and all of that. All those things will break altars. Last but not the least, Jesus himself wrapped it up by saying, look, this truth of the word that I'm bringing to you, you can't mix it up with old dogmas and creeds. Get the dogmas, get the creeds out of there, and stay with the pure word of God. Well, that's my lesson. I'm going to pray over the room, and I'm going to ask that the Lord give you understanding in all things, and then we can chat it up. Lord, I thank you for your word. The word of God is profitable for doctrine. It is also profitable for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. May the Lord help us to tender our hearts towards correction, reproof, instruction in righteousness, as well as doctrine. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. But we are assured, ladies and gentlemen, better things of you, even though we thus speak. We are assured better things of you. For my sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice. And a stranger, they will not follow, because they know not the voice of strangers. So do not follow strangers, you know, because you are the sheep of the Lord. Follow the master's voice. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.